In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. And we continue to look at the baptism of Jesus. Today I'm looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from the Galilee region to John at the Jordan to be baptized by John. John would have prevented Jesus, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let me tell you this, that Jesus needed to experience this from the Father. He needed that as a human being. Oh yes, he's God, but he's totally man. And the Father pointed out his Son, "This is the beloved, the one I love, the one I'm in love with. From all eternity, I've been in love with him. And now he's become flesh. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus needed the Spirit of God to do the ministry. He needed the Holy Spirit because he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf." You see, Jesus worked with the presence of the Holy Spirit. He worked with the presence of that wonderful Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew he was the beloved of the Father. Today the church gives us this reading. And who do men say that I am? I'm going to tell you. We can say he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter said, and also as Martha said it in the 11th chapter of John. But my question is not, who do people say that I am? What does God say about you? What does God say about me? What is the Word of God to me if I am in Jesus? The Word of God is, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved in whom I am well pleased." That's if we are in Christ. That's if the branch is in the vine. "You are my beloved, and I'm well pleased with you." You know, this whole experience of knowing who we are in God is the greatest experience that there is. Most people have an identity crisis. As I said, priests have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are, and the devil will hide it from them, and he'll throw temptations into their faces, and he'll do whatever he needs to do so that they never find out who they are in Christ Jesus, because then they would be a very big, big distraction to the devil. Most priests think that, you know, I do a job, I have to do a funeral, I have to do baptism, I have to do the Eucharist, but they don't know who they are, the beloved of the Father, if they are in Christ. And that's what the enemy keeps away from us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" But I want to say, who do you say? What does God say about you? What does the Lord say about me? You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not apart from Jesus, always in Jesus, in him, through him, and with him. We are the beloved of the Father. Let that seep in. You are the beloved of the Father. I am the beloved of the Father. We call Father Abba, Daddy, Papa, Dad. The Spirit of God comes on us and gives us the ability to call God Abba, Father, Daddy. I remember being in the Holy Land, and a little boy was out the window with his mother. Mother was holding the little boy. And the little boy gets sight of the father, his father. And he starts calling, "Abba, Abba, Abba." Came right alive. It came right alive, so alive. Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Papa. You are my Daddy, Abba. And the father looked up at him, smiled. Let me tell you, who does God say you are? You're a sinner, saved by grace. Welcome to the human race. But we're not plugging into sin now by the grace of God. We might fall and we need forgiveness. That's right. But the more we know who we are in Christ, the more we can live that out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remembering what Peter said to the first convert on the day of Pentecost, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is to you, talking to the Jews, to your children, next generation, and to those far off, that's us. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to do the ministry. He never did anything apart from the Father, and he never did anything apart from the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, he says, "I do only what I see the Father do. I do only what I see the Father do." So what should we be saying? I do only what I see Jesus doing. I do only what I see Jesus doing. And you know what he said? "And even greater works than these shall you perform, because I go to Abba, I go to the Father." If Jesus said, "I do exactly what I see the Father doing, and I don't do anything else, I work because the Father's at work, I do what the Father is doing," then we have the Gospels, and we need to see what Jesus is doing. And we need to do what Jesus did with the unction of the Holy Spirit. If you can't do it without the unction of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the unction of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus do? He preached. What did Jesus do? He healed. What did Jesus do? He delivered. What did Jesus do? He forgave people. What did Jesus do? He gave us himself in the Eucharist. What did Jesus do? We need to be doing what Jesus did. If Jesus says, "I do exactly what I see the Father doing," then we need to be doing exactly what Jesus did. And people say, "Well, I'm not worthy." Get over it. Nobody's worthy. There's only one worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. There's only one worthy. But in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Not apart from him. He's closer to me than a brother, even if I don't feel it. He's closer to me than a mother, even if I don't feel it. And he calls me to do what he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. What else did he do? He listened. As he listened to the men on the way to Emmaus. I tell you, my friends, the big problem of the church is an identity crisis. We don't know who we are in God. I remember a long time ago, I was in New York with the pastor that I was living at Sacred Heart, and we went to New York, and there was a place where we were going to go where they were going to have beautiful music, and I wasn't dressed properly, but I wasn't dressed improperly, but when they saw me coming in with the suit that I had on, they said, "You can't come in here." And I thought, you know, they have no idea that they're rejecting the Son of God. So, never went. But they have no idea who they're throwing out. That's why we need to be very careful with people. We need to be very careful with people. We don't want to hurt people. We have no idea who they are in Christ. That's why we need to be people that are committed to care for people, to love people, because God loves people. That's why we are not to take advantage of people. That's why we want to have people advance rather than not advance. And so Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and then began to do his ministry. We go back to the Our Father. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray." Now, please, if the disciples are asking Jesus to teach us to pray, this must be a very important experience for Jesus, as he gives us the Our Father. "Abba, Father, holy is your name. Your name is sacred. Your name is holy. There is none like you. You are doxa, holy. You are different than we are. Then thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's God's will for the earth. And who asks to do God's will anymore? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is the will of God that through the Holy Spirit that the kingdom would come, that our churches would look a little like heaven, just a little. That when people come to our churches, there should be drops of heaven that are exploding, people experiencing something different. We say we celebrate the Eucharist, which is the very experience of Christ's death and resurrection. And that's true. But you know what? The way you celebrate the Eucharist can ruin it for people. You know, if you're just going, you know, it's nothing's going to happen to the people. The church should be the place of prayer. The church should be the place where God meets his people. The church should be the place where a little bit of heaven is experienced. The church should be the place where the church meets, you see, because it's only a building, where the church meets, where Jesus is extolled, where the kingdom of God is coming, where people get healed, where people get delivered, where people get converted. That's what it should be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not in the church, but on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus wants. He taught them how to pray, that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the vision of Jesus. You know, how do we pray the Our Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We never think of the sacred words of Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He gave us the Our Father, and he meant every single word of the Our Father, that the kingdom would come on this earth as it is in heaven. That's the will of Jesus, and that can only happen in the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot happen any other way unless the Holy Spirit is alive in people and in their lives and in their church. You have no kingdom coming. You have no will of God being done. You have business taking place. Business is not what the church is about. Business is not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us to reflect heaven. Reflect heaven. I've said it before. How much of the kingdom of God dwells within our people? Well, if you've got 20 atheists and they went to 20 different churches, you have 20 times 20 people, and they saw people leaving church, Catholic and Protestant, I wonder if they would say, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. Or what they say, we don't want to be believers. Look, they're running to their cars. They want to be first out. They want to be the first ones out. They don't even put a doubt in my mind that God exists. They don't even put a doubt in my mind that maybe I'm wrong. The way that they conduct themselves tells me there is no God. We represent Jesus. The Christian represents Jesus. The priest represents Jesus. Oh, yes, we're going to fall. Oh, yes, we're going to fall. You know, just recently something happened, and, you know, I can't pretend. You know, when we were having the School of the Holy Spirit, I was still sick. And I can't pretend. And I wasn't going to pretend. I just couldn't deal with people. Whether people could accept that or not accept that, you know, I couldn't help it. That's the way it was. That's the way it was. The weeks after, I felt much better. But the point is, you know, I disappointed some people. But you're always going to disappoint some people. But we're called to represent Jesus on earth. We're called to represent the Lord on earth. He has only us. Only us. And yet, we think that we're not worthy. Get over this garbage of not being worthy, okay? Get over it. Because that's false pride. That's false pride. He makes us worthy, not on our own, because we live in Him. We are the children of God now. We are not beggars. We are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are God's children now. We are the beloved of the Father now. We are his own. And he is proud of us. He gave Jesus as a sacrifice for us. So we have to live that out. Imperfectly. All of us do it imperfectly. We all limp. But we have to live it out. Knowing who you are. That what you do comes from who you are. beloved of the Father. Beloved of the Son. Spirit of God dwells within me. Who you are, not what you do. What you do should flow from who you are. That's why Christians should be doing things that other people will not do. Christians who go to the abortion mill and subject themselves to names, to being called dirty names, being pushed around, but who they are causes them to respond. You know, it's so simple, but it's so difficult because we are taught that it's the job that we have that makes us important. The job should come from who we are. And most people don't know who they are in Christ. Not apart from Jesus. In Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh yeah. None of God's children should be going hungry. Give us this day our daily bread. If the people of God tithe their money and their goods, I tell you, we wouldn't need the welfare, who gives 22% to the poor and 78% to the fat cats, the bureaucracy. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, if you see someone without a coat, and you have to give him your coat. You know? If the church realized who she was, if we realized who we are, then I'm going to tell you, there'd be no one hungry. And not only hungry, we would see people taking people in. Not everybody. I'll never forget. Jack tells the story of his cousin. There were these two people that used to live out in the street. And Jack's cousin got to know these two people. And one day, the wife said, you know, you're out in the street, and you're our friends. Why don't you come live with us? We have extra beds. So they did. Years went by, and the woman dies. And Jack's cousin gives a beautiful funeral. And the man said, would you do the same for me when I die? And Jack's cousin said, of course. Well, he died. And a year later to the day, they got a message that they were left, I don't know, something like $48 million. This is when $48 million was $48 million. They said, couldn't be. These people were poor. They're out in the street. They wanted to be treated like human beings, not rich people. They wanted to be treated like human beings. And so they found someone who treated them like human beings, even though they thought they were poor as church mice. And as a result, they left all their estate to these two people. These two people had no idea that they were rich. Had no idea. I tell you, if the church knew who she was, if you knew who you are, you would not be living in your comfort zone today. If we realized we are the beloved of the Father and we do exactly what Jesus did, we'd start doing exactly what Jesus did, flowing from who we are. But most people have no idea who they are. Most people have, they just have a rotten self-image. That doesn't help. Jesus had a wonderful self-image. He knew that he did exactly what the Father did, and he was the exact representation of the Father. Let me tell you, we should be the representation of Jesus. That when people see us, they say, you know, I got a little glimpse of Jesus. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And I'm going to tell you again, no one does it perfectly. We all limp. No one does it perfectly. We all limp. But people notice. People notice how we live. They notice how we care. They notice how, no, they don't notice how we pray. They notice how we care. They notice how we live. They notice what we do. We're always like in a fishbowl where people are watching us. And you know, no one's going to do it perfectly. I've said it before. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and in me. And we need to give that Spirit, Holy Spirit, liberty to do what he wants to do. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. I do need to hear from you. Why? Because we need to pay last month's bills. They come in and they need to be paid. So please, if these broadcasts are a blessing, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Please, people in St. Louis, people in Arizona, people in New York, people in the western part of the state, people in Boston, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.